Folks, I cannot emphasize enough how stunning what just happened is and how cool it is simultaneously. Because it sure looked like the statute of limitations had expired on two of the biggest criminals in Washington, who unfortunately are the heads of the CIA and the FBI, John Brennan and James Comey. But that was until this. Do you remember back when Hillary Clinton got caught with the classified email scandal? And the FBI had to work all weekend to clear her, go through all of her emails, but then assure us Hillary hadn't broken the law. No, no. Well, it turns out she had, and they hid the evidence to protect her and then cleared her. Take a listen to this. 8 years later, John Solomon breaks the news yesterday.
The Inspector General report on Hillary Clinton's email that reveals that the United States Intelligence Community got new evidence of possible criminality in the Hillary Clinton email scandal, but did not pursue it just before James Comey cleared her of all criminal wrongdoing. That has stayed secret for 8 years. Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman, has been relentlessly pursuing him. He has President Trump's ear. I think that's going to get declassified in the next few days. That will show that there was reason to pursue Hillary Clinton, not clear her, and not pursue Donald Trump. They should have not ever investigated him for Russia collusion.
So here's what's going on. The FBI has, under Kash Patel, quietly launched an investigation into a decade of Democrat Party and deep state hoaxes, antics, and conspiracies to affect elections, opening the door for an appointment of a special prosecutor. So what are they doing? When you look at individual crimes, yes, the statute of limitations is passed. When you look at criminal conspiracies, statute of limitations starts running when they end. We just found this. In other words, if the cover-up is ongoing, it's still going on. Statute of limitations still intact. And this amounts, Solomon writes, to a criminal conspiracy to meddle in not one, not two, but three U.S. elections to the benefit of the Democrats and the detriment of Donald Trump by covering up the crimes of Hillary Clinton. There's so many different interesting tentacles here, too. Since this was a cover-up, the question then legal, and somebody is going to have to answer this, could Hillary still be prosecuted? Because, again, since the cover-up is ongoing, statute of limitations, so we'd have to show she's part of a conspiracy. That shouldn't be too hard to do, though. This grand conspiracy case was apparently opened quietly several weeks ago by Kash Patel over at the FBI. And it could get, they say, we're going to get into this in a second, a significant boost if Trump were to declassify two secret tranches of evidence that identify the ignition point of the conspiracy of the summer of 2016. So that's the first half of it, right? Here's the second thing that has just come to light. This has to do with the CIA.
The second piece of classified evidence that could be released is referred to by John Durham as the Clinton Plan Intelligence. It's an intercept 5 days before the FBI opened up Crossfire Hurricane that Hillary Clinton was about to concoct a Russian scandal and try to pretend that Vladimir Putin was helping Donald Trump win the election. That means that the CIA, the FBI, and President Obama himself personally was aware that what Hillary Clinton was doing was a ruse, a political dirty trick, and still James Comey's FBI opened up on the information. If those two pieces of evidence get declassified so grand jurors can see it, Pam Bondi names a special prosecutor, we could be rolling by the end of this week.
In other words, okay, you can't open it. This would be like the Greenville police. No, I did not rob a bank. They know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, but they just don't like me. They don't like the show. They don't like the things I say. I'm sure that's not true. I know they're some of my biggest fans, at least the guys in the cars are. But they know that, and they open an investigation into me. That is an unpredicated investigation. It is also a conspiracy. It fits federal conspiracy charges, particularly if you are trying to scuttle an election. you're not just confused, or there was, you know, some charging documents lost in the paperwork or some evidence lost somewhere in a locker and you just got confused. No, this is a conspiracy to affect an election. Now, listen to this. There's thing number three that this special prosecutor would look at. Oh, this is the one that really gets me excited too. The part where China was engaged in a scheme to create fake mail-in ballots in 2020 to help Joe Biden win. The FBI not only failed to investigate it or stop it, they even recalled and destroyed intelligence and asked fellow spy agencies who knew about it to destroy it too. Now, remember, it's two parts to that. There's the whoever the person was that came to them with the intelligence, hey, China has stolen millions of identities off TikTok. They're using them to make licenses that are indistinguishable from the real thing because they have the real data. We caught 19,000 of those licenses being snuck in by the Chinese at Chicago O'Hare. FBI wiped all evidence of it from their servers and lied to Congress about it. Again, what is that? That is three elections worth of conspiracy level election tampering. It's illegal. So you're going to come at this to get around statute of limitations on the conspiracy charges. I like it. So what's the holdup? What's the problem here? Hold on, Tim. I got to get to this because I got to explain this to the people. To me, JFK assassination, Epstein documents, whatever, not as big or bizarre a mystery as why Trump didn't declassify these documents in his first term. I will never understand it. And I'm not sure he's going to do it now. Wait. Isn't this evidence they committed a conspiracy level crime against him? Yes. Isn't this evidence they faked the Russia hoax to influence the election? Yes. He could have declassified it last time, but he didn't. And I know Lee is listening to this in the news right now. Me and him went, why, all through 2020. He dragged his heels. He appointed Bill Barr to go through and, you know, black out stuff. Names of agents and stuff, sources and methods. Said, it'll be out by spring. I'm declassified. I order it declassified. Didn't come out. Summer rolled around. I begin to panic. Where is it? You've got to declassify this. People think you and Putin stole the election. Nope. Election rolls around. I think, well, he's waiting to the weeks before the election. Everybody thought that. No. He protects these people by not declassifying. The most boneheaded, jaw-dropping, there's no words for it. And I thought, well, he's a lame duck. He's lost now. By the way, I think it cost him the election because over half of Americans went to the polls. They told exit pollsters believing that Putin had helped Trump steal that last election from Hillary. Total lie. Finally, we get to the final days of the Trump administration and he and Mark Meadows start frantically trying to declassify. It was too late. In fact, I'm pretty sure the raid on Mar-a-Lago was actually to try to find the binder that's missing. It's the Russia hoax binder, the Crossfire Hurricane binder with a lot of this in it. So you would think Trump will declassify. You would think that. And finally get us justice. But I put it at 50-50. I've heard this from Trump before. Why would he keep it secret? And by the way, we're 6 months in. Still not declassified, but maybe this will do it. Finally, we go to war with Russia the way I've wanted to, economically. We fought the dumbest war possible with Russia up till now, mainly under Joe Biden. By the end of it, in a desperate last-minute scramble to launch World War III, because that's what it was, hurling missiles deep inside Russia, killing civilians, which we did. You have to read non-US media to find out what we did. It was awful. And we did it. Wasn't Ukraine, wasn't NATO, it was us. We were running the whole mess from a war room in Badenburg staffed by our generals. We were at war with Russia. So when folks tell you, oh, Ukraine, wow, Russia's weak, Ukraine was beating up. No, that was us. That's not Ukraine. Zelensky's just an actor. He wanders around in that silly costume. We were fighting Ukraine for Ukraine. They were just the cover. The Biden administration determined to get into World War III with Russia. Folks, we have never, and I'm talking entire Cold War, been at more risk than we were in November and December of last year. As the left, the worldwide left, led by Chairman Ho's near-dead corpse, tried to escalate the war to a point Trump couldn't extract himself out of it. And that's, remember, he spent most of the transition at Mar-a-Lago. You'd see Mark Rutte fly in the head of NATO, and he kept, you know, civilization from ending, basically. But Trump's patience with Russia has worn thin. And the reason Trump has long thought of Russia as a victim is because they are. No, they are. This was a war started by Barack Obama. And Victor Davis Hanson nails this today, yesterday, actually, when he says, listen, they faked the Russia collusion hoax and then used it as a pretext to put six CIA bases on the Russian border. That's New York Times is my source on that. And roll tanks up and park them along with troops on the Russian border to menace them. That is why Russia's like, oh, heck no. We need a buffer zone between us and these lunatics. First, they make up a pretext. We stole the election. We're colluding with Trump. Now they got tanks on our border. And Victor Davis Hanson was right. Had John Brennan and James Comey not made up the Russia collusion hoax in partnership with Hillary in a criminal way, we probably wouldn't have a war in Ukraine. But Trump's got to solve it. And he's had quite enough of Vladimir Putin, and so have I. So Putin needs to come to the table. And he's looking at, he's got 50 days to either make a deal or we hit him with 100% tariffs. But wait, there's so much more here than meets the eye. Because let me tell you what pushed Trump over the edge. It wasn't Putin's latest prevarication or whatever. Like, yeah, he's screaming about, well, Putin is bombing Ukraine. Yeah, so what? NATO's bombing Putin, killing civilians too. It's tit for tat, never ends. Ukraine's done the biggest, NATO is what it is, bombing runs of the war. And in response, Russia's done the biggest bombing runs back. I mean, I can't even keep track of anymore of who's more evil, honestly, between the two of them. It's hard to say. But Trump just did a brilliant thing on several levels. Here's the first level of the brilliant thing that he just did. Harley Lipman laid this out. He is the CEO of, I'll pull this up. He's the CEO of Genesis 10, and he was this morning on Fox News. Take a listen.
It's brilliant because the United States is not paying for it. If you remember, during his campaign, a lot of people were wondering, why are we spending billions and billions of dollars when this is a war in Europe's backyard? Now Europe is paying for it. So he accomplished his campaign promise. And this is really going to move things towards peace.
Yes. But so they're paying us for the missiles. Folks, why were we giving them all this money before? Why were we giving? They would pay? Well, who knew? God, we're so stupid. Democrats, y'all. It's just Democrats. Okay, that's thing number one. You want to know what pushed Trump over the edge? It's not anything with Putin and prevaricating, although that got on his nerves. No, it's what happened the beginning of this month. The BRICS countries got together and were like, hey, how do we destroy America's currency? And do you know who was there? Oh, this burns me. Yeah, I expect it from China and Russia. India? What? Trump just forced the transfer of the entire Apple supply chain and manufacturing from China to India, which we needed to do to protect the intellectual property. And India repays us by trying to destroy our currency? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm so mad about it. Anyway, Trump clearly is too. So you know what he just did, right? Putin's got 50 days to come to the table. This is going to fracture the three-way alliance, or he's hoping it will. And guess who gets secondary tariffs if they're still buying stuff from Russia? You got it, India. What helps India have the upper hand over us in manufacturing? Artificially cheap energy, including oil and natural gas. Where do they get that from? Not all of it, but some of it. Russia. So this lets Trump totally crack down on India. I mean, whipsaw them. With Russia is the excuse. Well, you know, you don't have to buy it from Russia. Shame about you trying to destroy our currency, isn't it? Yeah, you're going to have to find a more expensive source of energy. It is an absolute masterstroke move in just geopolitical strategy. Because it's so much bigger than, oh, we need Russia to make a deal with Ukraine. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, but that's not all. And folks, can you see, let me explain something to you. Because Russia was sanctioned by Joe Biden, the value of their energy went down compared to what's on the world market because Russia's not allowed to have it on the world market, right? But what Joe did by sanctioning Russia was help China because he didn't put secondary sanctions on Russia, I'm sorry, on India and China. So China could go buy really cheap oil, really cheap natural gas, use it to compete against us in manufacturing. And Joe Biden left the back door open on purpose because he got paid the $30 million, probably closer to $50. It was actually Hunter who cast the check, but who cares? Anyway, that was the scheme. And so Russia got the money for the Ukraine war. Hunter got to have the hose and the cocaine. Joe Biden got to be 10% for the big guy, and everybody was happy. Well, all our enemies anyway. Not anymore. Trump just closed the back door. They got 50 days. I love using tariffs for geopolitical strategy. But the person I want to hit more than anybody right now, just because the burn I've got on for them right now, is India. How dare they? I know we're sitting here like idiots about to approve a whole nother tranche of HB1 visas. Microsoft fires, what, like 6,000 people, including thousands of engineers. We're going to hire Indian ones. If those get approved, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind. We have got to stop this hiring Indian engineer stuff till every one of ours is employed. Even the deadbeats, I don't care.